We are joined by phone by Marjorie Cohn, Professor Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, San Diego, former president of the National Lawyers Guild, author of Drones and Targeted Killing, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues. Good morning. Oh, it's afternoon now. Feels like morning to me. Good morning, good afternoon,
yes,
Marjorie.
Good afternoon, Marjorie.
Good morning, Mitch and Kat.
So your initial thoughts about what took place today and sort of the back and forth between the counsel in particular.
Yes, well, it was very interesting that the Republicans didn't really take on the facts. They threw up a lot of red herrings, including the thing about, you know, the telephone records, why didn't Schiff come, interestingly, Barry Burke, who is a longtime white-collar criminal defense attorney who presented the case for the Democrats, talked about the Republican excuses and then shot each of them down, I think, quite effectively. He said that the Republicans are arguing, well, the military assistance to Ukraine was released. Yes, but only after Donald Trump got caught. And then another one is, well, Donald Trump was motivated by anti-corruption. Yes, but in his July 25th phone call with President Zelensky, Trump never mentioned corruption. Another talking point of the Republicans, Ukraine didn't feel pressured. They said they didn't feel pressured. Well, they did, and there was a lot of evidence that they needed the U.S. support. They needed the meeting in the White House to legitimize Zelensky vis-a-vis Russia on the world stage. Another Republican talking point that Barry Burke shut down, that Donald Trump never said there was a quid pro quo. Well, of course, that's not necessary. There is overwhelming evidence that was presented, and even evidence that wasn't presented, but that is in the 300-page report of the Senate Intelligence Committee, that Trump wanted an announcement that these two investigations would take place. Wasn't important that the investigation actually happened, just that there be an announcement. And this reminds me of when Comey came out and made those very unprecedented announcements about Hillary Clinton's emails, and many people think that affected the results of the election, and nobody is more aware of that than Donald Trump, and he knows how to use media and TV and wanted that announcement. Another Republican talking point, well, we're going too fast. You're going too fast. You should wait until more witnesses come out. Yes, but the answer to that is that Trump is obstructing by forbidding the witnesses to testify and has not turned over any documents at all. Daniel Goldman, who is the Intelligence Committee's lawyer for the Democrats, cited four takeaways from the evidence. First, that Trump had a scheme to pressure Ukraine to open two investigations to benefit him. Second, that Trump used his office and foreign policy to pressure Ukraine. Third, everyone was in the loop. And fourth, you know, all the top vice president, secretary of state, et cetera. And fourth, he hasn't given up. He's continuing to solicit interference in the election, and that leads to an imminent threat to national security, that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to elections, which also refutes the Republican talking point that, well, if you don't like Trump, you can vote him out. The problem is that if he is undermining and infecting the election process leading up to the election, then that is the clear and present danger.
Marjorie Cohn, thank you for that concise breakdown of what has been already a six-hour-long day. That said, Mitch and I were talking earlier. It still just feels like there's a lot of regurgitation of what we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks now. Were there any aha moments in there for you?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that the Democrats and I think Barry Burke and I believe Goldman as well, the counsel for the Democrats, referred to the Mueller report and obstruction of justice that is very carefully laid out in the Mueller report. I think he has 10 different grounds for obstruction of justice, and people will recall that Mueller did not conclude on whether Trump obstructed the Russia investigation because he agreed with the Department of Justice that a sitting president can't be indicted. I think he was overly cautious, but he certainly laid out, and I've written about this, probable cause of obstruction of justice. And the fact that the Democrats are referring to the Mueller report and possible obstruction of justice leads me to believe, in terms of the scope of the ultimate articles of impeachment, that they may well include an article for obstruction of justice, not involvement with the Russians in undermining the elections, but the obstruction of justice, trying to cover it up, and that includes notably trying to get Don McGahn to fire Robert Mueller, and when he said, "I'm going to resign," trying to get Don McGahn to lie about what had happened. But there's many other instances of obstruction of justice, and that says to me that the Democrats are seriously considering including obstruction of justice of the Mueller report on Russia that details obstruction of justice of the Russia investigation in the articles of impeachment. There's a lot of talk about how broad the scope will be. Will it just be limited to Ukraine, which I think Nancy Pelosi may lean towards? It's neat, it's tidy, it's clear. Or will it include other things as well? And there are many other things, violation of the Emoluments Clause, financial misdealings and corruption, et cetera. But I think we may well see an article of impeachment against Trump that comes out of the House Judiciary Committee and ultimately out of the House of Representatives that includes the Mueller report and obstruction of justice.
Marjorie, tangentially related is this release of the Inspector General's report about the Russia probe, in which the IG calls it justified and unbiased, directly counter to the Republicans' talking point that it was begun on the thinnest of suspicions. Your thoughts?
It's not surprising because I don't know if people know that every agency, every federal agency, has an inspector general, which is a nonpartisan, independent office to make sure that particular agency or department is complying with the law. And so when the inspector general does an impartial, unbiased, independent report and comes to that conclusion, that's not surprising, notwithstanding the Republicans screaming and yelling about it. And of course, the Republicans from the beginning of this whole process, their main tactic has been distraction, diversion, and throwing up red herrings. And we certainly saw this with the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, Doug Collins, who was badgering Goldman, who's a very low-key guy, about procedure, about issuing subpoenas, taking really gratuitous shots and attacking Schiff for not testifying. And then he was screaming the whole time at Collins was screaming at Goldman, saying, "You weren't elected to anything. In other words, why isn't Schiff here?" And then also trying to bring up, well, you know, Biden was doing the same thing here. He was, trying to focus on Biden's guilt, even though Biden has been cleared, in every way from any wrongdoing, and his son has as well. But that's another tactic of distraction. But I have to say that if I was not studying this as a legal scholar and as a commentator, and I was a member of the public turning it on, and I listened to this screaming and back and forth, I very well might turn the TV off. On the other hand, some people who follow this, like you and me, think that might make it interesting. Certainly, the partisanship is laid bare for all to see, and the lack of civility and the attacks by the Republicans, you just don't see that coming from the Democrats. And the other thing the Republicans did was to continually cite Jonathan Turley, who was the one out of four law professors, legal scholars, who testified last week, the other three legal scholars, saying that if this conduct isn't impeachable, no conduct is. It's an overwhelming case for impeachment. And Jonathan Turley saying, well, you're going too fast, and it's a very thin record, and you should slow down, and I'm a Democrat. Turley wrote a Wall Street Journal article that said that the Ukraine matter should be seriously investigated, and that impeachment doesn't necessarily require a criminal offense. And then one of his main arguments when he testified was, well, Trump's conduct wouldn't amount to bribery because it doesn't follow the bribery statute. Well, he knows as well as anyone, that any legal scholar, that bribery at the time of the founding fathers, at the time of the founding of the Republic and the Constitution, was not in a statute. Even if you look at the bribery statute, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many other scholars, it does amount to bribery. And Turley, in 1998, he testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee during the Clinton impeachment. And at that time, Turley said, no matter how you feel about President Clinton, no matter how you feel about the independent counsel, by his own conduct, he's deprived himself of the perceived legitimacy to govern. And that was Clinton, who lied about having sex under oath. Nothing like what Trump has done trying to manipulate a foreign government to mount investigations that benefit Trump personally. And also, something that I had forgotten is that during Sonia Sotomayor, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor's confirmation hearing, Turley said that he did a review of 30 of her opinions and she lacked the intellectual depth of a good Supreme Court nominee. So it sounds to me like Turley may be lying about whether he really is a Democrat or maybe just have gone off the rails at some point, but he has certainly given the Republicans fodder to quote him.
He has a reputation as being a contrarian. I think that's what his reputation is, yeah.
I think it is, but I think it's a contrarian that's leaning toward the Republicans consistently. So, but yes, I think you're right about that. And I actually had respected Turley in the past, but when I saw him testifying, I really lost a lot of respect for him as a legal scholar. It was just disingenuous arguments that he was making, but arguments that the Republicans can glom onto. And I think that there's a good possibility that Turley might be angling for a Supreme Court nomination with his testimony. And, you know, heaven forbid anything should happen to Ginsburg or really anyone else on the court, that could be a possibility. But, you know, he knows that Trump watches TV and he knows that Trump, you know, makes his choices based upon who has his back at any given moment. And maybe Turley's thinking he could get an appointment to the Supreme Court. Who knows?
Marjorie Cohen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Appreciate Thank you, Marjorie.
It. We've been speaking to Marjorie Cohen, Professor of Emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, San Diego, California, former president of the National Lawyers Guild. Articles can be found at marjoriecohen.com.